Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NGI Growth and Income Fund conference call. During the question and answer portion for today's call, if you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please ensure you lift the handset before you make any selections. At that time, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and you may also cancel your question at any time by pressing the pound sign. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. David Root. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and thank you all for attending our conference call for the IndieX Growth and Income Fund. My name is David Root. I'm the President of Fund Services at Strathbridge Asset Management. I'm joined today by John Germain, our Senior Portfolio Manager for the funds. Our purpose today is to give you an update on the fund, given the very strong performance that we've had in the 2.5 months since its inception, notwithstanding some of the volatility that we saw in late January and early February, as well as to give you an outlook for the fund going forward. In case you didn't see the most recent net asset value, as of yesterday's close, it was $9.74 per Class A unit, which, given yesterday's market close at 9.19, is a discount of 5.65%. So quite a bargain, and one of the reasons that we want to get the positive message out. Similarly, our low-volatility U.S. Equity Income Fund posted a net asset value yesterday of $11.13, a high. Given the trading price of 10.51, it's also a discount of about 5%. So a couple of funds there that we think are some pretty good investments, and right now are looking like they're on sale. Before I hand it over to John, I'd like to highlight another project we've been promoting, which is our monthly update. You may have noticed our first update that came out for January, came out in early February. It includes a couple of comments from John on the prior month's markets, as well as a couple of investment suggestions that we think would be attractive for you as an IA and for your clients. We also included our monthly outlook commentary, which is written by our strategist, Jack Way, which, if you've been reading his pieces over the past couple of years on our website, you'll know that it can be fairly entertaining and informative. So we urge you to give those a read, and please look for that the next issue coming out in the next week or so. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to John Germain, our Senior Portfolio Manager.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks to everyone who's dialed in today. As Dave said, we thought we'd take this opportunity to give advisors and clients a quick update on the IndieX Growth and Income Fund, how the fund has performed in the 2.5 months since closing on December 19th of last year, as well as how the fund is positioned as we go forward. So from a top-down perspective, markets have behaved somewhat as we expected when we were out marketing the offering last November. And if you recall, for those of you that attended our presentation, we thought markets had a good run into the end of 2013 and might have a pullback as we got into January of this year. And that's precisely what's happened. Emerging market concerns started to flare up in January. Currencies such as the Turkish lira and the South African rand weakened. Markets continued to weaken in the first week of February, as the second taper announcement of $10 billion was announced on January 29th. So with the portfolio roughly just under 60% fully invested at the end of 2013, we took advantage of some of that weakness in the latter part of January to invest the rest of the proceeds. Markets came back in February, and that's really, as Dave alluded to earlier, been reflected in net asset value growth that we've seen, recently hitting a high of, as of last night, 974, 968 on Feb 28th. And that compares to the 932 net asset value that we started on when we closed the fund, and also up about 9.5% from the low that we reached on February 5th at 888. So the total return of this fund since inception to the end of February, Feb 28th, is about 3.81%. That's versus an equal weighted total return of the 20 stocks of 1.96%. So we've been able to outperform by 1.85% or 185 basis points of alpha in just under 2.5 months of running the fund. And most of that outperformance has come from the active management that we employ here at Strathbridge. Remember, although we have to own all 20 of the stocks, the highest yielding stocks of the NASDAQ 100, we can tilt our weights between 3 and 7%. And a couple of examples of where we've added value from this active management, number one being Wynn Resorts, luxury resort and gaming stock that we've owned and been overweight since the start of this fund due to our positive view on Wynn's exposure to the strong growth of gambling in Macau. Well, on January 30th, Wynn reported that Q4 revenue from Macau was up 25% on a year-over-year basis to $1.1 billion and up only 2.4% on their Vegas casinos. So obviously, we've seen that growth in Macau. And since the start of the fund, Wynn's up 30.6%. So our overweight in that stock has added some outperformance. At the other end of the spectrum, Mattel, Inc., a name that we've been less positive on due to the weaker revenue outlook for the company. Again, that was confirmed on the fourth quarter earnings call as revenues were down about 6% from the previous year. We've been underweight, tilted at the 3% level. And since the inception of the fund, Mattel has been one of the worst performing stocks, down 16.5%. Finally, we've been able to add some outperformance from the ability to invest in up to 20% of the fund in the basket names. So any of the other 80 names that make up the NASDAQ 100. And a couple of basket names that we've been invested in since the start of the fund have been a couple of our best performers. Green Mountain Coffee Roasters, which is the best performing stock within the portfolio, was up 61% during the period that we owned it. We recently sold it in the later February due to that run. And the most of that run came on February 6th when the stock was up 26% after Coca-Cola announced that they were acquiring 10% of Green Mountain for $1.25 billion to gain access to the do-it-yourself soda market. Another basket name that we've been invested in is Facebook. Since purchasing the stock, shares are up about 23%. And again, stock surged on January 30th by 14% after fourth quarter earnings per share came in ahead of expectations and revenues were up 63% year over year. So I think obviously we've demonstrated that our active management style has been able to add value to the to just passively owning all 20 stocks on an equal weighted basis. And we will continue to employ that approach on a go-forward basis. With respect to call writing, due to the fact that we didn't get the proceeds of the offering fully invested really till the end of February, we've not been that active on the call writing. On average, only 6% in the 2.5 months since we started the fund. So very little of the outperformance has come from call writing. We have generated a bit of income from the calls. And continue to look opportunistically to write some names. We just monetized a couple names in the last few days at a gain, about $25,000 gain on those two names, and we'll continue to employ that approach going forward. But most, as I said, of that outperformance that we've been able to generate over the last 2.5 months has come from being overweight the right stocks, underweight the right stocks, and also utilizing our 20% basket. So sitting here today, we continue to be very bullish on the prospects for this fund. U.S. and global economy continue to improve. On Monday, the U.S. ISM Purchasing Manager Index came in better than expected at 53.2 for the month of February. That's up from 51.3 in January. And obviously, part of January was adversely affected by the harsh weather that we've seen in the U.S. in the United States. Also, today we got the European Purchasing Managers Index composite, and that also came in better than expected at a 2.5-year high at 53.3. So very positive that we think that these companies are very levered to improving U.S. and global economy. At the same time, these companies continue to possess very strong fundamentals. Fourth quarter earnings also obviously demonstrated that. A few companies, for example, Microsoft reported a beat on January 23rd, earnings per share of 78 cents versus the street at 66. And Garmin also reported an earnings beat of 76 cents versus the street at 62. We also expect these companies will continue to return cash to shareholders due to the large amount of cash sitting on their balance sheet. And this was demonstrated in Q4 earnings reports as many companies reported a dividend increase. Just a couple of examples, Analog Devices was a name that we own in the 20-stock universe, and they reported an 8.8% dividend increase. And Cisco also reported just under a 12% dividend increase. Finally, valuations in our view are still attractive. The NDX Growth and Income Fund 20-stock portfolio PE ratio is still near the low end of the range that we've seen over the last 10 years, currently trading at 17.2 times. That's about a 4-multiple discount to the NASDAQ 100 itself and roughly in line with the broader S&P 500. So we continue to be very positive on the outlook. for the NDX Growth and Income Fund on a go-forward basis. One other reason for the call, as Dave alluded to, was the discount the shares are currently trading at in the market. Traded closed at 919 last night. That's about a 5.5% discount to last night's closing net asset value of 974. And we think, obviously, that discount provides an attractive opportunity to look at these shares for your clients. And also, we've been active somewhat on the mandatory market purchase program, where we will step in and buy units of the fund as long as they're trading at greater than a 2% discount to net asset value, and as long as we have excess income net of our distribution. Obviously, with the fund just up and running for only a few months now, and since we didn't get it fully invested by the end of January, it's taken some time to generate enough income, not only to fund the distribution, but generate some excess for the mandatory market program. And going forward, we'll continue to be opportunistic to generate excess income in order to purchase units when they trade at a greater than 2% discount. But we were active in late February, and we continue to look at this discount, at opportunities to generate excess income so that we can use the mandatory purchase program to reduce the discount. So at this point, I think I'll just turn it back over to questions and see if any of the callers on the line have any questions for us. Thank you.
Operator, if you'd like to take some questions.
Thank you. Questions will now be taken from the telephone lines. Please press star one at this time if you have any questions. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. Once again, please press star one if you have any questions or comments. There are no questions registered on the telephone lines at this time.
Okay, well, if there's no questions at this time, we'll close off the call, but appreciate everyone dialing in, and if you do have any further questions that you think of afterwards, by all means, give us a call. And again, I urge you to look for the monthly update, which will come out via email sometime next week. So appreciate everyone's time today, and if you have any questions, please give us a call. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rood. Conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.